Hello! Welcome to Stories Podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Weldon. Today's story is part three of The Brilliant Firefly, Recoil, book two of the original series written by Daniel Hines. We released parts one and two of this story over the last 2 weeks and all of book one last year. Be sure to listen so you're all caught up. Today, we'd like to say a special thank you to Henry, Sadie, and Freya and their family, Senna and her family in Santa Fe, New Mexico, Logan and his family, and Jack and Anna and their family. Thank you so much, Anna, Jack, Logan, Senna, Freya, Sadie, and Henry. You are part of what makes it possible for us to continue to produce fun new stories for our listeners. We also wanted to tell you about a new iTunes app for kids podcasts that we helped build. It's called Kids Listen on the iTunes App Store. It has nothing but kid-friendly shows curated by us and our kids show friends, and it's free. Just search Kids Listen on iTunes. Thanks! Enjoy the episode! The Brilliant Firefly, Recoil, Part 3. Chapter 5, No Landing. Grandpa Jack healed slowly. Even with the miraculous nanotechnology of his recovery bath and the daily ministrations of his daughter, his old body just didn't bounce back like it once had. It was a fact he grumbled about to Jill and Specs nearly endlessly.
"Careful with that target," he hollered at Jill from his bed one afternoon.
Madison and her friends had been particularly mean on the bus that day, and the target dummy was getting the brunt of Jill's wrath.
"Just because I'm laid up in bed doesn't mean you get to destroy all my equipment. You know, 20 years ago, I would have been up and fighting already. 20 years ago, that barbariod goon never would have gotten close to me."
Jill looked at Specs and rolled her eyes. He smiled at her and went back to the computer. He was trying to find the Scarlet King by tracking barbariod and harpy's movements, but it was like chasing the wind. They were everywhere. A chemical research facility in Russia, a bioengineering firm in Argentina, a private spaceflight company in California. They hit and were gone so fast it was hard to figure out what they'd even been after. Grandpa figured they were looking for some new weapon, but it seemed like they hadn't found it yet. Who knew how long that luck would hold, though?
Jack?
Speck said, pushing his glasses back up his nose absentmindedly.
It looks like there's a fight breaking out.
His fingers click-clacked across the keys.
Near the financial district of Giga City. Doesn't seem to be Scarlet King related. It's a bank robbery gone wrong. A super fought his way free of the vault and is on a rampage.
Grandpa Jack grunted.
Crimson Cannonball and Captain Legend? The Tower Twins?
They're on the scene, as well as Werebear and Grimchurch.
Grimchurch is playing hero now, huh? Good for us, I guess. He was always a hard one to catch back in his thieving days. Any word on who the perp is?
Speck stared at the monitors. Jill wiped the sweat from her forehead and came up behind him to watch.
Looks like some kind of monster in a set of power armor. He's calling himself Battle Snake?
Something new from the Scarlet King?
It doesn't look like it, Speck said, typing. No, he's been active for a couple years now, mostly in South America. According to the international database, he's in business for himself. No known affiliates.
Well, that's good, at least. Jill watched the screens grimly. Battle Snake was over 10 feet tall and nearly as wide. Heel to neck, he was encased in armor, colored in bright, poisonous greens and reds. His head stretched up and out, half-human, half-cobra, with fangs that dripped with venom. When he turned, Jill saw a long, thick tail flowing out behind him.
How are they making out?
Jill watched Cannonball get swatted out of the air and skid to a stop in a pile of rubble. A second later, the Tower Twins grasped hands and began to grow. The brother-sister pair swelled to about 15 feet tall, hugely muscled, and charged at Battlesnake. The creature turned and lashed them with his tail, tangling them together and knocking them into a drugstore with a spray of bricks and glass. "They're getting killed out there," Jill said. "They need help."
"Of course they do. Help me out of this bed."
"Grandpa, you can barely move still. Your ribs."
"It's a snake in a tin can," he said. "It won't take long."
"If it's that easy, then let me go," Jill said.
Absolutely not.
I'll stay in the air. He can't even fly.
And what if Barbariod shows up and hammers you into pieces?
Said Specs, hesitantly. I've actually got a live lock on Barbariod and Harpy. They're currently in Australia, making their escape from a weapons lab.
Thanks, Specs. Can you please not encourage her?
See, Grandpa, they aren't there. Let me go and help before anyone else gets hurt. I'll listen to everything you say, and I won't land anywhere near this guy. Jill saw her grandpa thinking it over, torn between his desire to keep her safe and his lifelong obsession with fighting crime. They need Firefly, Jill said, gesturing to the screens. Battlesnake had Crimson Cannonball by the legs and was using him like a club to swat at the shaggy hero, Werebear. Grandpa looked at the screen for a long moment.
You don't land. And if your mother asks, it was me out there.
Jill nearly screamed with excitement. In a flash, she was running to the suit, letting it scan and fit her while Grandpa called out instructions to Specs. Like the inexorable gears of a ticking clock, like a flower blooming in fast motion, the suit spun to face away from her and unfolded like an origami trick, inviting her forward. And this time, Jill recognized a handiwork similar to the Proteus. Her father's design, her father's legacy, now her legacy too. Once again, Jillian Jays stepped into the Firefly.
Chapter 6. Battlesnake.
You should be coming up on the fight now, Specs' voice said through her suit's internal speakers. Jack says make sure you keep this comms channel open.
Will do, Jill replied.
Be careful. I'd hate to have my only friend get eaten by a mutant snake man.
I'll do my very best, Specs, she said with a smile. She rocketed over the top of an office park and the smile died. Below her was a scene of devastation. Battlesnake had found his way to a subway entrance and was clearly planning to disappear underground. Werebear was trying to block his way, but the shaggy hero was overmatched. Half man and half giant bear, he was similar to Battlesnake in a way, but the villain was proving to be faster, stronger, and more vicious. Werebear's long white claws screeched harmlessly off the metal of Battlesnake's armor, and a mighty lash from the villain's tail sent the hero crashing down the subway stairs.
Fools,
hissed Battlesnake, duffel bag bulging with stolen treasure from the bank vault laying at his feet.
No one can defeat Battlesnake.
Jill saw the Tower Twins knocked out across the street, their still giant forms lying strewn among the rubble. Werebear wasn't getting back up either. Crimson Cannonball, bleeding from one nostril, saw her in the air and flew up beside her.
Firefly, it's an honor, sir,
he said, bobbing unsteadily.
We could really use your help. This overgrown worm is really taking it to us. That's why I'm here,
said Jill, letting the suit alter her voice into Firefly's commanding baritone. Below, the dark-robed figure of Grimchurch detached himself from the shadows of the subway. He was clad all over in black, with a strange, inky-looking cowl covering his features. Battlesnake hissed and lashed out with his tail, but it passed right through the dark hero.
How did he do that?
Jill asked in her Firefly voice. Crimson Cannonball shrugged, fighting to get his breath back.
He's more ghost than man. Best detective I've ever met, but not much he can do in a fight. He said he's just buying you some time. He's talking to you?
Yeah, we all have comms. You want the frequency?
I've got it, Spec said in her ear. Jack told me how to pick it up. I'm looping it into the suit now.
I've got it, repeated Jill to Crimson Cannonball.
Below, Grimchurch turned to a puff of smoke and flowed around Battlesnake, reforming behind the creature and sending him off balance. Jill heard his voice in her ear as he became solid again.
I can distract him, but nothing I have will put him down. Is Firefly here to help or what?
Get clear,
Jill said, raising a fist. The soft yellow light of the Firefly energy flowed down her arm and pooled along her knuckles, making the skin beneath tingle and itch. Grimchurch stepped into the shadow of a shattered wall and disappeared from view.
He's clear, said Crimson. Take your shot. Jill focused on Battlesnake and a crosshair flared to life in her HUD. She raised her fist and another crosshair swung into view. When the two were aligned over the hissing form of Battlesnake, the suit chimed and the words, "Target locked," flashed before her eyes.
"Tag him!" yelled Specs.
Jill squeezed her fist and a bolt of light streaked across the shattered plaza, catching Battlesnake in the back as he turned to enter the subway tunnel. He was knocked in a wild circle and then slumped to the ground.
"Got him!"
cheered Crimson, still floating near her in the air. He clapped her armor on the shoulder.
"You're still the best. I don't know where you've been, but it's good to have you back. We could really... Oof!"
A small boulder of metal-studded wreckage caught Crimson in the gut and sent him crashing back to the ground. Jill looked down, and there was Battlesnake, back on his feet, a black scorch mark slashed across his armor.
"Firefly! Finally a challenge!"
"Careful, Jill," Speck said. "Jack says to get higher and hit him again."
Jill nodded and flew up another dozen feet. Battlesnake raged below her and looked for something else to throw, escape momentarily forgotten. Jill lined up another shot and blasted the villain with a beam of light, forcing him to his knees.
"Tell her to get him! Pour it onto that scaly brute!"
came Grandpa Jack's voice in the distance. Jill smiled, thinking of him sitting in his sickbed shouting commands at poor Specs.
"Jack says to..."
"I heard him," Jill said, and kept the blast going. Like a hammer of light, it crashed down onto Battlesnake, pushing the monster into the ground and warping its thick armor. When the villain was finally still, Jill heard the voice of Grimchurch in her ear.
"Stop for a moment. I will recover the stolen goods."
"Right," Jill said. "See if you can find where Crimson landed, too. He may be hurt." She stopped the blast of light and Battlesnake laid still on the ground. Grimchurch rose from a shadow, grabbed the duffel bag full of loot, and dragged it back into the darkness where they both disappeared.
"No need," grunted Crimson over the comms. "My powers work around kinetic energy. A big hit like that will knock me down, but it also recharges me. I'm going to get Werebear out of there while we have the chance."
A red blur zipped into the subway entrance and emerged a moment later, carrying the shaggy form of Werebear.
"He's in bad shape. I'm going to drop him back at his magic tree. That'll heal him up,"
Crimson said as he faded into the distance.
"You're all done, Jill," Speck said.
"Time to get out of there."
"Maybe not," Jill said, as she watched Battlesnake shake its cobra-hooded head and rise to his feet, lips pulled back in a snarl, revealing pink gums and venom-dripping fangs. Jill raised her fist to fire another blast, but Battlesnake reared back and spat up at her. She was easily 100 feet in the air, but the venomous spit streaked up like a bullet and splashed over the freshly repaired chestplate of the Firefly suit.
"Move, move, move!"
she heard Grandpa Jack yelling in the distance. She kicked on the jets to fly away, but something was wrong. Looking down, she saw the spit was eating into the metal of her suit, bubbling it away like acid. Her jets misfired once, twice, and then cut off completely, sending her crashing towards the ground.
"Jill, what's going on?"
Specs asked. "It spit acid! Something fried! I'm going down!" She heard more shouts, heard Specs and Grandpa and Crimson and Grimchurch and others yelling as she pinwheeled to the earth. The suit fired emergency jets at the last moment to keep her from splattering, but she still hit hard enough to shake her teeth in their sockets.
"Jill! Jill, you need to get up!"
Head swimming, chest on fire, Jill pushed herself to her feet. Battlesnake was walking towards her now, laughing a sibilant serpent laugh.
"Let's see how tough you are on the ground, bug boy."
"Jill, Grandpa says the suit will heal itself and the jets will come back on in a minute. Just run!"
Jill looked over, saw buildings smashed and windows shattered, pieces of glass sparkling in the battle-ravaged street like diamonds. She heard a high hum from her ringing ears and the distant scream and wail of sirens. She heard the Tower Twins, still enormous but utterly unconscious in the street. She thought of all the people that could have been hurt here. She thought of all the people that would be hurt in the future if she ran and let Battlesnake get away. She thought of her father, destroyed by a villain like Battlesnake just because he was on the wrong train at the wrong time. Inside her, The matchstick of anger scratched against those rough thoughts and sputtered to life, white-hot and hungry for more. It caught and sent tendrils of fire, tendrils of burning strength all through her. She grimaced with rage. She was angry. She was powerful. And dangerous. That, too. Battlesnake spit again and Jill rolled under it, coming to her feet with a rising uppercut punch that caught Battlesnake in the jaw. The villain staggered back and hissed, one of his fangs chipped from the blow.
"You'll pay for that," he hissed. "I will lay you to rest."
Jill, Firefly, raised her fists. "Come, try it," she said, and surged forward, low and balanced like Grandpa Jack had taught her. Battlesnake lashed around with his tail, but Jill flipped over it and watched it pass beneath her, close enough to brush her helmet. She landed and then immediately pivoted into a back handspring to avoid another blast of acidic spit, letting the muscles of the suit, her father's invention, amplify her movements and send her soaring gracefully through the air.
"Firefly!" came a booming but unmistakably feminine voice in her ear. "This is Cassie Tower. Keep him busy for a little while longer."
Landing, Jill looked over and saw the Tower Twin had recovered and was no longer laying with her brother. Battlesnake charged Jill, taking advantage of her momentary distraction. They slammed together, their armors colliding and ringing like a bell. Battlesnake opened his mouth grossly wide and tried to bite the Firefly helmet. The fangs scraped and screeched over the metal, and the dripping venom boiled the helmet and sent needles of painful heat into her scalp.
"Ugh!" said Jill, disgusted by the villain and filled with rage. "You want a bite? You really want a bite? Take a bite of this!"
She ripped her helmeted head free and crammed her arm into the creature's mouth instead. There was a flare of pain as a fang punched through the metal, but then Jill squeezed her fist and a blast of light filled the creature's mouth. He hissed and tried to pull away, but Jill held him still with her other hand, letting the suit blast all through the snake-like body. Light rippled along Battlesnake's scales and he screamed. Finally unable to take any more, he opened his mouth and wrenched himself away. Jill sank to her knees, the pain of the bite making her woozy.
"Jill! Jill, you hear me?"
It was Specs.
"The jets should be good again. I'm getting you out of there."
"No," Jill said, swaying to her feet. "I need to finish this." Battlesnake hissed and charged again. Jill ducked the blow and crunched an elbow into his neck, a heel into the side of his knee, and then triggered the jets to jump up and crash a resounding headbutt into the villain's face, shattering both fangs and sending him sprawling backwards. He started to rise again, and Jill saw Cassie Tower was there, unnoticed behind him, hugely tall and holding a steel girder in both hands like a bat. Battlesnake hissed, opening his mouth and rearing back to spit again. Before he could finish, the Tower Twin swung a gigantic overhand blow. The girder drove Battlesnake flat onto the ground, but even then he refused to stay down. He whirled and rose and lashed out at Cassie. She dodged a bite and caught the beast's tail, but then a glob of the acidic spit caught her on the shoulder and she stumbled away, wiping it off herself with smoking hands. Battlesnake turned back to Jill, wild anger in his eyes.
"You broke my teeth!"
he howled, spitting venom to the ground.
"Jill, end it now!"
Grandpa Jack's voice came from a distance over the comms.
"How?" Jill asked. "I hit him with everything."
"Cool him down," said Specs.
"What are you talking about?"
"He's a mutant, but he's obviously mostly snake or maybe even lizard with those arms. Maybe he's cold-blooded."
"Specs, you're a genius," Jill said.
"Try it, Jill," Grandpa Jack agreed. "The suit has a small amount of liquid nitrogen for coolant. You can vent it through your left palm. Specs will activate it. Just say the word."
Battlesnake charged again, tail thrashing. Jill backed up warily, waiting for an opening. Finally, she managed to leap the villain's tail and get close.
"Now!"
she said, slapping her left hand against Battlesnake's shoulder. With a thump and a hiss, a cloud of liquid nitrogen shot from her hand. It frosted over the villain's armor and he howled with pain, stumbling away.
Did it work?
Specs asked. He didn't like it, but I need more power, Jill replied, finally finding what she needed. She ran across the street.
Jill, what are you doing?
You'll see, she said, then called out. Hey, Snakey, you all rattle or is there any bite left in you?
Battlesnake let out a roaring hiss and charged at her.
Jill!
Wait for it, wait for it! When the villain was within reach, she kicked the fire hydrant she had seen under the rubble. Her armored boot sheared it in half and a geyser of water blasted up and took Battlesnake in the face. At the same time, she lifted her left hand, palm out, and held it up towards the beast.
Specs, vent it all, now!
Another thump hiss and the liquid nitrogen sprayed out, mixing with the water and freezing Battlesnake in his tracks. A great cloud of mist went up and Jill heard her own armor whine as it was coated with frost, but the villain received the worst of it. When the air finally cleared, he was frozen solid, a beard of frost on his cobra hood and icicles where his fangs had been.
Crimson? Jill asked. Werebear has dropped off. I'm on my way back to help now.
All set. This goon is now a snakesicle. Take him to the super jail for me.
Will do, Firefly. You're still the best.
Jill flushed inside her suit, glad that the comm system automatically disguised her high-pitched voice.
See you around, she said,
kicking on her jets and cruising home. She was worried Grandpa Jack would be upset, but when she stumbled out from the armor, he wrapped her in a bone-crushing bear hug, spinning her in a great circle like when she was a little kid.
Jilly Bean, you did it! Jilly the little hero! Jilly the Firefly!
Jill smiled wider than she ever had before, and hours later, after her wounds had been patched and her armor had been repaired, when she was laying in bed, sore and exhausted, she fell asleep with that same smile still on her lips.
To be continued. Today's story, part 3 of The Brilliant Firefly Recoil, was an original story written by Daniel Hines and performed for you by me, Amanda Weldon. Stay tuned for the final installment of The Brilliant Firefly, Recoil, to be released next week. If you would like to support Stories Podcast and receive a thank you in a future episode, please visit patreon.com/stories and make a pledge. Then send an email to Amanda at storiespodcast.com and let us know who to thank. And don't forget to check out the Kids Listen app for a curated collection of kid-friendly podcasts. Just search Kids Listen on iTunes. Thanks for listening! Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Stories Podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today! Or you can listen early and ad-free with Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts. Grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.